All right, John chapter 11, verse 5. Pretty simple verse. I title this message, I Tell You Nay. And that comes, of course, from Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. I tell you nay. And he said there, that's not the text. He said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And we'll speak some of that. And John chapter 11 is where Lazarus has died and Mary and Martha, his sisters, come. And in verse 5, he said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Well, just the fact that the Bible expounds that he loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus implies that there's people he didn't love. And it certainly debunks the biggest lie told in church that he loves everybody, because you'd never have to say he loves Martha and her sister and Lazarus if he loves everybody. It would be a foregone conclusion. So I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus didn't love everyone. And the number one lie told in church, it clearly says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And he also, the Bible tells us that he loved John, the disciple that he loved. He loved John. And he didn't love everybody. Nor do you and I. And if you, anytime somebody tells me, oh, I love everybody, well, number one, I know that they're lying. And number two, I know that they're stupid. If you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, whom he loved, he chose. The Bible says in Psalm 5:5, he says he hates the workers of iniquity. He hates those. Do you understand that? He hates the workers of iniquity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9 that he hated Esau while yet in the womb, having done neither good nor evil. Brian, you're going to have to mute your phone.
Okay.
Having done neither good nor evil. So the question would be, does he love you? Now that might seem a trite question, but it's not at all. Sadly, most people go, yeah. Okay, really? Well, has he met you? Does he call you and lead you in and lead you out? Does he love you? Because you should be able to prove that. I can prove she loves me by some things that, because she'd have to love me to do some of the things she does for me. I'd have to love her to do some of the things I do for her. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's a way that we can prove this thing. And also in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I find that to be one of the most important verses in the church. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you be without chastisement, it says, then ye are bastards and not sons. I remember so well preaching that verse when I used to preach in the jails and the prisons, and they didn't know what a bastard was. And probably a good portion of them were bastards. And probably the majority of them had bastards. Children born out of wedlock, you see. That's why I get on these boys sometimes. Because I love them. If I didn't get on them, I wouldn't love them. And it's the same with a father to a son or a mother, you see. I've gotten on some that didn't take it so well, and they've never come back. And I think that probably happens in the church. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then if you turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now look at Romans chapter 9, verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now, contrary to what you might think, this is not a message on election. If you don't know election by now, well, God help you. This is a message on love. That's right, a message on love, but of the most important kind. That is, does God love you? And for what were you created? What, do you think you're here by chance? Were you created for honor? He said, created some for honor. Or are you here for dishonor? The potter, the clay. Honor, dishonor. Are you a son? Are you a bastard? Are you led by the Spirit of God? We're told in John 14, 17, what the Holy Ghost is. And it's pretty amazing when you see so many people that they claim that this is evidence of the Holy Spirit, and this is evidence of the Holy Spirit, and this is the Holy Ghost, and this is the Holy Ghost, and this, and yet Jesus said, he's this comforter. He called him the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. Do you know how I really know? I meet someone and my spirit melds with their spirit because they have a spirit of truth. They readily receive truth. And a lie, they won't hear. They really won't hear it. A hireling, they won't hear him. A wolf, they won't hear him. Why? Because they have the Spirit of truth. So I say, are you led by the Spirit of God? Are you led by the Comforter? Are you led by the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Spirit of truth? You hear the truth and it sticks to you like Velcro. It's like a glue. Or are you led, sadly as so many are, by your own spirit? Are you light or darkness? Are you sinner or saint? Now hear me. Those in Christ sinneth not. Oh, preacher, well, that's what God said. Once again, now you led by your spirit. Are you smarter than God? They're dead to sin, those that are in Christ. Those in Christ sinneth not. They're dead to sin. Turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. I've heard so many say, oh, well, it has many I don't need to interpret this. The Bible interprets itself. It's not of any private interpretation. Once again, they believe their own spirit. Starting in verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, listen to it. Let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. That's why he was manifested. that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did he fail? Did he fail in you? Did he fail in me? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, there just went half the church. Oh, I'm sorry. There went 9/10 of the church. Right there. Right out the door. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I love it when God gives me a word and it's just filled with Scripture. Because you just can't go wrong. God forbid, Romans 6 verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But the enemy, the angel of light, preaches, for God so loved the world, as if God loves everyone in the world. Maybe that same angel of light, that same so-called minister of righteousness, might want to turn to John chapter 17 and verse 9. Jesus speaking, the Lord, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Do you see it? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They and they only. He didn't pray for the world. See, the Bible interprets itself. Thank God. And we've already spoken of those he hates. What of hell, which he what? Enlargeth. Why would he need to enlarge hell for people that he loves? What of those in 1 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've spoken of them many, many times. Very few people speak of them. You say, why do you speak? Well, nobody else speaks of them. But they're there. As surely as we're here, they're there. They will be here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 9. And it concerns Christ Jesus himself. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Are your deeds evil? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Did he become your sin? Did you become his righteousness? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? You know, this leads to the bar seems higher now, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it's so high that no man can reach it. You see, that's the caveat. It's so high that no man can reach it. Now you get that. Even the so-called, this lady they call Mother Teresa after a lifetime of benevolence. And in the end I read, she said, I see no light. The bar so high, no man can reach it. And then in Matthew chapter 7, those that we're all too familiar with or should be. verse 22 and verse 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh man. Oh God. People use that phrase in blasphemy all the time in vain. Oh God. Oh God. Yes, the road just got narrower. Straight is the gate. Narrow the way. And how many find it? Few. Many are called, few chosen. You know, those who really heard in person Jesus preach, even the disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, that's not what they preach today. Are they, this is so easy. You want to get saved? This is so easy. And the disciples, the apostles, this is a hard saying. Who can hear? Who then can be saved? To which the Lord issued no such so-called altar call. As I told a man this morning, I remember the preacher, the old preacher said, you think you can get saved that easy? Come on down here and do it. I'd like to watch. Come on down here and get born again. I want to watch it. It's not of yourselves, lest any man boast. He never directed anyone to pray any specific prayer, recite any creed, or be baptized into any church. As a matter of fact, for some, he directed that the gospel wasn't even for them. How come you preach to them in power? It's not for them. What? And for others, especially the religious, he told them that their father was the devil. Well, I've never heard that preached. Of course you haven't. All the people would go. The hireling wouldn't get paid. We wouldn't need this big building anymore. We'd be out of business. Many that would hear a message such as this sadly would exclaim, I've never heard anything like that before. Yep. You know, when the Lord preached, they said, never a man spoke like this before. He didn't preach the company line. He preached the truth. You see, all most heard are smooth things, deceits, lies, feel good sermons about some love God, some Easter bunny or such that doesn't exist, a Santa Claus, a panacea God of their own mind, who declares, well, there's some good, while God declares, there are none good, no, not one. And they declare, Jesus loves you, while all the while denying the fact that he may hate you. I've found, sadly, in over 35 years of ministry, that the last thing that most want to hear is the truth of God's word. And that's because they don't possess the spirit of truth. And the very crucifixion of Christ by the religious is proof of that. And any man worth his salt will tell you, if Christ walked the earth today as he did then, they'd crucify him again. Perhaps your life is evidence of such. Is it truth? Is it transparent? Are you as you seem? What's growing on your tree? What's growing on your tree? What have you done with your talent, your gift, your cross? Are you crucified with Christ? Does Christ live in you? Do you love the light? Do you wear the white robe of His righteousness? Amen. As always, we're told, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine your own self. That's the only way it can be, because only you know, if you'll be honest. Most people won't even be honest with themselves. Did you ever think about the great lie? They won't even be honest with themselves. Satan, Lucifer, when he was Lucifer, he couldn't have been honest with himself. He, pride entered. He said, I'll be like the Most High. What? What? Lucifer, what have you been smoking? Are you kidding me? But that's the only way it can be. Only you know. Don't believe what the hirelings or the serpent tells you. You see, everything won't be all right for some. Ye shall surely die. And such can occur at any given moment. That's the deal. Oh, we don't believe that. We can tell by the way we live. I read 60 tornadoes last week. Some of those people are dead. Some of them weren't any bigger than that. Pandemics. They say there's a pandemic coming. Far worse. Wars. Accidents. Gone into eternity, just like that. Surely James was right, and he said it's but a vapor, like a flower, here today, gone tomorrow. And sadly, most think, as those did as we started, I tell you nay, and in Luke chapter 13, he said, suppose you think, he was talking about just like those people that were killed in tornadoes, I bet you think those people were sinners above everybody else, but he says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see that death over there? That could have been you. One hairbreadth. The Bible says he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood and was crucified to pay our sin debt. Does your life prove that? Do you live a life that puts him once again to open shame? Do you crucify him afresh by your words and by your deeds and by your sin? Or do you live as light to be put on a hilltop that others may see? And today I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How do you know this, preacher? I read the book. Well, I read the book. Oh, yes. But you see, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, not you, me. Of whom I am chief. It takes a spirit of truth to know that. I met the Lord. Have you?